Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Red Sox here on the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Gabrielle, founder of Girl at the Game, and today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app from the iOS App Store and find one of our Locked On rooms. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. So it's Thursday night. The Red Sox have beat the Tigers to win this series. They are now 19-13 on the season, and they pulled it off. And we're going to talk about the whole thing because it was not easy. And in fact, it was much more difficult than it should have been, in that it shouldn't have been that difficult at all. We're also going to talk about Albert Pujols being designated for assignment by the Angels. And I'm obviously going to make that about the Red Sox. And we're going to talk about the upgrades that the Red Sox have already made today and the upgrades that they need to make. So to start, today was Xander Bogaert's 1,000th career game, and thankfully, the Red Sox managed to win it. And I say thankfully because since I had already done an episode on Wednesday, I did not do a post-game episode after the Red Sox managed to lose to the Tigers on Wednesday night. Because quite frankly, if I had done an episode about last night's 6-5 loss, it would not have been very nice, and I would not have been very nice. But today, the Red Sox beat the Tigers 12-9, and the Tigers mercifully are leaving, and they are going away, and I never want to see them again. Just a reminder, after this series, the Tigers are 9-23 in last place in the AL Central. They are 9 games out of first, and they have a .281 winning percentage, by far the worst team in all of Major League Baseball. Every other team in Major League Baseball has won at least 11 games, except for the Detroit Tigers. And this is the Detroit Tigers that the Red Sox gave up 6 or more runs to in every single game of this series. To me, that speaks volumes about the pitching on this team. And to be fair, this wasn't all on the pitching. This series between the two teams had more than 10 errors combined. Rafael Devers today had 2 errors. This was some really sloppy baseball, like literally some of the worst baseball I have ever seen in my entire life. But when you have the Detroit Tigers hitting home runs off of you, scoring 6 or more runs off of you in every single game of the series, you have a problem. Your pitching staff is a problem because there are much more potent offenses coming down the pike. You're about to play the Oakland A's next week. You cannot have this pitching staff. And we will talk later in the episode about what the Red Sox are doing to try to improve their bullpen. But all I can say is watching this game was appalling. This entire series was appalling. It shouldn't be this difficult to dispatch the Detroit Tigers. It just shouldn't. I don't really know how many ways I can say it. I don't even want to get into the specifics. I will say that there are some players on this roster who currently do not deserve to be playing on a big league team. Franchy Cordero redeemed himself today. He had been really struggling coming into this game, but he redeemed himself today. He went 3-for-5 with 3 runs scored and an RBI. And this is a guy who had been like 0 for his last 20-something. But Bobby Dalbec was 0-for-4 and did absolutely nothing today. And after the game, Alex Cora said that they're going to continue playing Dalbec. And I genuinely don't understand that decision. You have guys at the alternate training site. Well, now you have guys on the AAA team now that the minor league season has started and we never have to say alternate training site again. You have guys in Worcester who can hit the ball better than Bobby Dalbec. And I genuinely don't understand how you're going to keep giving him chances. If this team was doing better, I would say that he could still have chances. But you lost 3 out of 4 to the Rangers and then barely beat the Tigers. Those are two last place teams. And before that, you only managed to pull together 3 runs in 2 games against the Mets. So you need offense. It's not going to be JD and Devers and Bogarts every single day and Verdugo. The bottom of your lineup needs to do something. And Hunter Renfroe has heated up a little bit. Franchi had a good game today. But Bobby Dalbec needs to be so much better in that he is currently like 0 for his last 30. Bobby Dalbec led all of Major League Baseball in home runs during spring training. And now he can barely get anything going. And it's not entirely his fault. A lot of his balls have been hard hit and they're just falling directly into somebody's glove, or they're not carrying because it's been frigid in Massachusetts. But at the end of the day, when you're hitting 174 with a 507 OPS, that's not gonna work. He has 1 home run and 6 RBI in 86 at-bats so far this season. He is 0 for his last 25 over his last 7 games and 11 strikeouts. That's not going to work. That can't work. But so far, lately, he literally cannot get anything done. He is hitless, and he has 0 walks also. So it's not even that he isn't hitting. He's not getting on base, period. The only way that guy is getting on base is if he gets plunked, and that's not acceptable. So today in the game, Kike Hernandez hit a leadoff double and slid into second, and he left the game after that with hamstring tightness. And Franchi Cordero replaced him as the runner and then, of course, became the first run to score a few minutes later. But Kike left the game. Dalbec isn't hitting. Cordero hit today, but that was after he'd been terrible for about a week. So those are 3 guys that you need to either figure out or you need to find somebody else. Kevin Plawecki was great today. He went 2 for 3 with a run scored and 2 walks. Christian Vasquez went 1 for 1 with a run scored as the pinch hitter and had an RBI. This offense is still one of the best offenses in baseball, but that bottom of the lineup is killing them. Their inability to drive in runs when they have runners on is awful. They were 9 for 23 today with 12 men left on base. I'm going to say that again because it is so mind-bogglingly bad. 9 for 23. They had 16 hits. And they actually ended up they had 12 runs on 16 hits, but they were 9 for 23 with 12 men left on base. They should have won this game by like 10 runs. And the Tigers gave them a lot of that. They only struck out collectively 8 times. But they got 3 walks. They got a couple guys hit by pitch, including Xander Bogaerts. And they did not do enough. And it's the Tigers. You really can do enough. You can do the most. You can be guac at Chipotle and be extra. It's the Tigers. So yes, I am so glad this series was over. This game today was just absolutely awful. This series was awful. When it takes you over 4 hours to beat the Detroit Tigers, you might want to start questioning your life. And in this game today, the final rundown, 21 runs, 30 hits, 6 errors, and 23 men left on base in this game. Overall, not just the Red Sox. They did not score 21 runs. They should have scored 21 runs, but they didn't. A win is a win. I know that. But this was one of the ugliest wins I have ever seen. And I know I said the same thing after the first game of the series, but this game was even uglier than the first. This game saw the first game and was like, hold my beer. I can be even uglier. So unbearable that I have literally been trying to recover all night. The game ended like 4 hours ago. I'm still emotionally exhausted. Now, before we talk about Albert Pujols, this episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Locker Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. It's the perfect place to start or join conversations about Major League Baseball. You'll find fans just like you on Locker Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, reacting to big news or rumors like Albert Pujols getting DFA'd by the Angels. Go download the free Locker Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the MLB group for the latest league updates. You'll find a ton of incredible rooms around your favorite teams and leagues. I can't wait to join you all in the app. Download the Locker Room app today. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. There are so many makes and models of cars on the market nowadays that it is impossible for your local chain store to stock every product that you need and every brand. They're partial to brands, and they're going to charge you more for those brands, and they might not even have what you want in stock. But why would you want to spend 30, 50, even 100% more for the same auto parts at that chain store when you could get it online at rockauto.com for the lowest price available? The secret with chain stores is that they have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers, but rockauto.com's prices are the same for everyone, and they're reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible. They're a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years, and they have parts from hundreds of manufacturers, everything from your engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Go to RockAuto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck, and write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. So Albert Pujols got DFA'd today by the Anaheim Angels. I still call them the Anaheim Angels. The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, longest name in baseball. They DFA'd the 41-year-old Albert Pujols in the final year of his 10-year, $253 million contract. And their GM said, "There's never a right time for something like this. Obviously, I have all the respect in the world for what type of player he is. This is more about playing time and who we have." And apparently they've been discussing this for a couple weeks, and they decided that Jared Walsh was a better option than Pujols at first base, and Shohei Ohtani is their DH, so that wasn't going to give Pujols a lot of playing time, and he still wanted to be an everyday player. Their GM said he's not a bench player. We felt like for him, with respect to him, keeping him on the bench, him not getting any playing time would not do him any good or the team any good. Never a good time for this, but with that being said, we felt like it was the best thing for the organization. Albert Pujols is almost guaranteed to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. It's kind of appalling that this is how his time in Anaheim ends. He currently leads all active major leaguers with 667 home runs, 2,112 RBI, 3,253 hits, and 2,886 games played. He's fifth on the all-time home run list. He passed Willie Mays last season. And by the way, it's Willie Mays' 90th birthday today. Happy birthday to the legend, our oldest living major leaguer. Albert Pujols deserved a lot better than this. It's not that shocking considering the Angels organization is generally terrible in every possible way. I mean, they had a player die of a drug overdose because he was being supplied with drugs by a front office employee. They're still employing Mickey Callaway, who has been accused with an abundance of evidence of sexual harassment by numerous women, and they do not treat their players very well. This is both shocking and not shocking that they have done Albert Pujols dirty like this, but Albert Pujols deserved better. In the first 10 seasons of his career, he was an all-star 9 times. He's a 3-time World Series champion. He was Rookie of the Year. He's a 3-time MVP. He just didn't deserve this. And I genuinely thought today when I saw the news that it was a joke. And the reason I'm talking about Albert Pujols on a Red Sox podcast is because I saw a tweet from Jun Lee of ESPN. He is a Boston guy, so of course he was thinking along the same lines as I was. He tweeted, "Watching how the last few years of Miguel Cabrera and Albert Pujols' careers have played out makes me really appreciate the storybook way David Ortiz was able to end his." And then he added a second tweet to that thread saying, "In the best way possible, this felt like the ending of a corny sports movie," with a photo of David Ortiz tipping his cap at Fenway in his final game of the regular season in 2016. And it really reminded me of just how special David Ortiz's final season was when he was 40 years old. .315 batting average, 38 home runs, 127 RBI, 48 doubles, a 1.021 OPS, a Silver Slugger, and he finished sixth in MVP voting. That RBI number was the most in American League. And he led all of Major League Baseball in doubles, slugging percentage, and OPS. And none of those four statistics were even his career highs. He got to go out on top the way almost no sports legends get to. He didn't homer in his last at-bat the way that Ted Williams did, but his entire final season of his career was basically a Ted Williams home run in his last at-bat. Very few players get to walk away from the game on their own terms. We saw it earlier this year with Dustin Pedroia, who was robbed of that chance in the most heartbreaking way. David Ortiz is one of the lucky ones who got to end it on his own terms. And he even said later, when everyone thought that it wasn't true because he was having such a good year in 2016, he wasn't going to retire, even though every team that he had played against throughout the season gave him a gift and, you know, said farewell to him and honored him. And the Yankees were like, "We're so glad you're leaving and never coming back. Please don't ever hit against us again." David Ortiz said he could have played a few more years, but he said, "It takes me three times as long to get ready for games, and my knees can't do it, and my body can't do it anymore." His heart was willing, but his body was not able. But David Ortiz made a choice to go out on top. Albert Pujols is not one of my favorite players. He was a Cardinal, and then he was an Angel. You know, I barely ever had to see him against the Red Sox. And when I did, I mean, the Red Sox won in 04 and beat him. And then in 2013, he wasn't on the team anymore. But I know that Albert Pujols was an amazing player, and he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. And it's just the principle of the matter that seeing David Ortiz's farewell tour throws into harsh perspective the fact that Albert Pujols got totally screwed over today. And I hope that he ends up with another team that gives him the opportunity to retire on his own terms. Maybe it's even the Cardinals and he gets to go home. That would be really nice. That would be a storybook ending for him. But I felt for him today, and it reminded me just how special David Ortiz's final season is. Because for the last few years, I have thought of that final season with sadness. I have thought about it with heartbreak. I have remembered how I sobbed on the last day of the regular season. I remember how angry I was when they were swept out of the ALDS in three games. I remember being in denial that entire year, and then being in denial on the opening day of 2017 until I heard Hanley Ramirez's name called as the designated hitter. But because Albert Pujols was DFA'd today, I was able to take a step back and remember how magnificent David Ortiz's final season was. And I'm grateful for that. And I hope that Albert Pujols gets the chance to walk away from the game in a better way than the game walked away from him today. Now, before we talk about some upgrades that this Red Sox team is making and needs to make, have you guys heard about SportsTrade? It's where fantasy sports meets the stock market. It's amazing. SportsTrade takes fantasy to the next level. It's like Robin Hood for fantasy sports. Their platform allows you to buy and sell shares in your favorite players just like real stocks. A fair and exciting way to cash in on your knowledge of sports. And they just added baseball to the platform, so check it out today. Making money with SportsTrade is as simple as player values rise and fall based on two factors. One, their statistical performance in each game as compared to their projected fantasy sports in that game. The more points scored, the higher their value goes. Two, good old supply and demand, baby. The more demand a player has, the higher their value goes. When you're ready to buy shares, pick that penny stock in a rookie with huge upside, or grab that blue chip vet who's always a solid performer. Instantly buy and sell as many shares and as many players as you like, just like the stock market. Then watch your players battle and your portfolio rise. Simply go to sportstrade.com, watch the How It Works video, and then sign up to get started. Sign up today at sportstrade.com and discover the fun, exciting, and profitable new world of sports trading. This is truly the evolution of fantasy sports. You'll be amazed. Don't sit on the sidelines any longer. Get in the game at sportstrade.com. After this series, I'm still a little iffy, but I would bet on the Red Sox. And BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for your sporting needs, including MLB, NHL, NBA, and your UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So today's game threw into sharp focus for the Red Sox that they need help, particularly in the pitching department, but also a little bit at the bottom of the lineup. Let's talk a little bit first about the pitching. This was the first game of the season for Nathan Eovaldi in which he did not go five or more innings. He lasted 4 1/3, gave up 6 earned runs on 7 hits, walked a batter, and struck out 5. The 5 strikeouts was actually pretty good for him. His career high is 10 in a single game, so he's not a huge strikeout guy ever. It's the 6 earned runs on 7 hits for me, and the low innings pitched. It was really bad. Like, appallingly bad. We haven't seen Nathan Eovaldi look this bad in a long time. He was relieved by Josh Taylor, and then Phillips Valdez, and then Darwinson Hernandez, and then Matt Andrees, and then Adam Ottavino. This was just a bad bullpen game. And the bullpen honestly has looked pretty bad all week, but this was some of the worst. I mean, the Red Sox and Tigers were going head-to-head for the entire 9 innings. Quite literally until the bottom of the 8th, this game was a battle. It was tug of war. It was Spider-Man versus Spider-Man gif on Twitter. The Red Sox had a 4-1 lead going into the 4th inning, and then Nathan Eovaldi gave up 3 runs to tie the game. The Red Sox battled back in the following inning with another run, and then in the 5th inning, Nathan Eovaldi gave up 2 more. And that's how it went every single frame. Back and forth, it was like a tennis match of two terrible teams. This game showed us how weak, and this series really, showed us how weak this bullpen is. Yeah, those guys went out there and 8 innings, but they didn't do it well. They didn't do it effectively. The Tigers had 9 runs today on 14 hits. That's a lot of runs and hits for a team that is literally last in almost every category in Major League Baseball, including their win-loss record. 5 weeks into the season now, and they still have only won 9 games out of over 30 games played. You can't do that. So the Red Sox, as a result, and I've been saying this literally all week because it's not like the Red Sox came into this series hot. They came into this series knowing that they needed to blow the Tigers out of the water after losing 3 of 4 to the Rangers, and instead, they barely beat the Tigers, and they actually lost a game to the Tigers. All week long, I have been saying Chaim Bloom needs to upgrade the bullpen. Upgrade the bullpen. Upgrade the bullpen. Upgrade the bullpen. And it looks like he listened because Brandon Workman is back. Remember Brandon Workman? 2013 and 2018 World Series champion Brandon Workman? Brandon Workman, who in 2019 held opposing batters to the lowest batting average in all of Major League Baseball and only gave up 1 home run the entire year, and it was in Chris Sale's 17 strikeout game against the Rockies, I believe to Charlie Blackmon. That Brandon Workman. Brandon Workman has not been doing well since he was traded to the Phillies last year by Chaim Bloom. Chaim Bloom pulled off quite a coup last year. He traded Brandon Workman and Heath Hembree to the Philadelphia Phillies in exchange for current Red Sox starter Nick Pivetta and minor league pitcher Connor Siebold. Brandon Workman wasn't having a very good 2020 when he was traded to the Phillies. He'd only appeared in 7 games and he had a 4.05 ERA in 6 2/3 innings with 4 saves, compared to a 1.88 ERA the year before in 71 2/3 innings. But when he got to Philly, it got way worse. He appeared in 14 games and had a 6.92 ERA. And after that, he became a free agent and he signed a deal with the Cubs. And I honestly didn't even realize that he was with the Cubs until the Cubs released him last week. But he pitched for the Cubs in 10 games this year and had a 6.75 ERA. So Brandon Workman is majorly struggling right now. But we've seen him be great, and I think there's a solid chance that he can turn it around again. So he's back on a minor league deal. He's with the Woo Sox now. he's going to work in the AAA bullpen. They're going to figure out what's going on with him. And if he can even get halfway back to who he was in 2019, it will be a major get for the Red Sox. And I just have to say, you know, last year the Red Sox were so awful that it was easy to be really mad at Chaim Bloom, even though a lot of it wasn't his fault. You know, yes, he traded Mookie Betts, and that's going to be a terrible part of the Red Sox franchise history forever. But overall, there were a lot of things that he did that actually have ended up paying dividends that we, of course, could not see at the time. And the Brandon Workman-Heath Hembree trade was one of them, because the Phillies were so desperate for some bullpen help that they gave us Nick Pivetta and Connor Siebold. And Nick Pivetta has been one of the best starting pitchers on this team in the last 2 years. Connor Siebold, it's still too early to see, but I would assume Chaim Bloom sees something in him that he wanted to get him. And meanwhile, now Brandon Workman is back where he started, and the Phillies don't have Pivetta or Siebold. So that guy is playing chess, and everyone else is playing checkers, and it's just absolutely crazy. But Brandon Workman is back. And then, to bolster the lineup a little bit, two new/old faces are headed as the taxi squad to the Red Sox for this Baltimore series. We are finally going to see Michael Chavis for the first time, aside from one game in which he didn't even have an at-bat, but he was on the roster when J.D. Martinez was getting tested for COVID a few weeks ago. Aside from that, we haven't seen Michael Chavis in a big league game since spring training. And in spring training, he and Bobby Dalbec went toe for toe in the home run battle. They each hit like 6 or 7 home runs. Michael Chavis worked his butt off this year to get better. Today, it became pretty clear that he was coming to Boston because he was not on he was not in the lineup for the Woo Sox game tonight, and he wasn't listed as available either. And now he and Jet Bandy are headed to join the Red Sox as part of the taxi squad for this series in Baltimore. And thank God, because even if they're not that good, they literally cannot be worse than Bobby Dalbec right now. And some fresh faces in this lineup might be exactly what this lineup needs. So now the Red Sox have a long weekend in Baltimore. They have a 4-game series there before heading back to Fenway Park to host the A's and the Angels. And just a reminder, the A's are the only other team in the American League with 19 wins. They are quite good. And obviously Chaim Bloom is not a miracle worker. He cannot upgrade our entire bullpen by Tuesday, but they got to figure out something because the A's are good. And Mitch Moreland's coming to town. So this has been your post-Tigers series wrap episode of Locked On Red Sox. And when this episode is over, you can get all the other sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. You can follow Locked On Red Sox on Twitter at @LO_RedSox. I'm at @GFSTARR1 on Twitter. Thanks so much for tuning in. Support your minor league teams. And as always, at every level of the organization, go Red Sox.